Chapter 1 Portal. It happened one ordinary July day when my younger brother Andy vanished into a time portal after catching the ball in right field. My name is Zach, and I have been a bad brother. I was supposed to protect him, but I failed. I am 13 years old and have curly brown hair and large hazel eyes. I love to draw and sing. One day I will be a star, Mama tells me. Right now, I have no time to think about that. I have to find my brother. Andy is 11 years old and has hair the color of carrots. It is straight and long. His eyes are crystal blue. Andy always was a leader and loved to start new projects. I remember one time when he took apart a radio to see how it worked. Another time Andy and I built a fort out of chairs and blankets. We also played pirate ship. It was our favorite game. We would dress up in old rags and imagine we were looking for lost treasure. Ever since the day Andy vanished, our whole town has been looking for him. Mom made a wanted poster with his picture on it. I've been walking back and forth on Main Street and passing the poster out. Hard times have come to Trinity, New York. This small town is about 40 minutes north of New York City. Andy and I have been to New York City many times. We used to take a family trip there once a week. New York City is surrounded by water on all four sides. The island was purchased from the Native Americans for only 25 beads, many years ago. Since Andy vanished, our life has changed. Deep inside, I feel that the only way I can truly find him is to discover the portal Andy fell into. I do not know where it leads or where it can be found, but one day I will discover it. When I save my brother, things will return to normal once again. I wish it had been me who caught that baseball and fell into the portal. I used to play sports, but a broken leg changed everything. Now I walk with a limp and cannot move that fast. I have many questions. Why did Andy vanish? Where is he? Why was he the chosen one? I must save my little brother and bring him home. I will keep searching until this mystery is solved. Chapter 2 Andy Lands Beyond. Swirling rainbow colors and many flashes of light blinded me as I fell. Time slowed down for a moment. I couldn't tell the difference between darkness and light. Within seconds, I landed on a baseball field. The morning dew soaked my tiger's uniform to the skin. A large grass stain appeared on my backside. "Yes, I caught the ball!" I screamed and looked around, but all I saw were empty bleachers. "Where is everyone?" The sun became brighter and more blinding. "What is this place? Mom, Dad, Zach, are any of you around?" I looked down at my uniform. It was old, tattered, and worn, but at least my boxers were still whole. I looked around the baseball field, which was yellow and overgrown. It must have been vacant for many years. "Where am I?" I cried out, then stomped my feet and clapped my hands, finally slamming my glove on the ground. Tears filled my eyes, and my body started shivering and aching under the hot sun. "What is going on here?" I screamed, realizing that I was not in Trinity anymore. I then smelled a sickening, rotten smell. It reminded me of a mixture of new tar and old shoes. My tears cleared as I looked up at the sky. In the distance, I noticed several tall buildings peeking up to the sky east of the ancient field. I needed to find signs of life so I could be saved. I didn't care about my tattered baseball uniform or my cold skin. I ran quickly toward the buildings. I had no idea where I was going, but it was all about survival now. Chapter 3 Wendy. I was expecting him that summer evening. He was supposed to land on that empty field. I always wondered what it was used for. Then I saw a flash of light, and he appeared. He looked smaller than I expected. Why was he running so fast toward the city? I had to chase him, or he would get in trouble. This place was not for newcomers. I should have told him that I would be waiting. I bet you're wondering whom I am and what this place is. It is a long story, but it all started 10 years ago. The Civil War had been raging for 6 years when I was born. My country was in ruins. I grew up in an icy city and was trained in the arts of fighting and dodging. I was just 10 years old when an old man visited me.
"Wendy,"
he said,
"it is my grandchildren who will save your world."
Before he vanished, he gave me the time and date that each of them would arrive. Then he disappeared. I could not believe that the time had already come. I still did not understand why the boy was running toward that ghost city. I guess I should have warned him that I would be waiting. I never had a chance to send him a letter. The chase was on. I had a feeling we would get into a fight with the Greys. Thank goodness I had some help with me. I was 16 years old and the leader of the Eastern Resistance. I could not have asked for anything more. I was fighting for my people and the human race. We followed Andy toward the old library building, and I watched from a distance as he buried one of our own. This would be my chance to save him and bring him to safety. As I watched, I decided not to make the same mistake twice. I knew that his older brother would be landing in about 6 months, so I sent my trusty eagle back to our home base with a message to tell my people to write a letter to his brother. I knew whom I could trust with this tough task. After the message was sent, we noticed some Greys approaching the library quickly, and we were ready for the battle of a lifetime. Chapter 4. Andy's Ghost City. I ran toward the tall buildings, my legs hurting me more each moment. I approached closer, and pure silence surrounded me. In front of me, a ghost city appeared, the Main Street sign swaying in the wind. This street looked familiar to me. I was back in Trinity, New York, but something was very different. The city seemed much larger. The street was empty, and the storefronts had shattered windows. There was glass everywhere. I knew where I was, but the big question was, what year was it? Twisted metal, rotten wood, and steel littered the city. Gray and black building skeletons were everywhere. The smell of old shoes and tar itched at my nose. There was tons of garbage all around me. I had to find out what year it was, and some sign of life. If I did not, I would not survive. Suddenly, at my feet, I saw a newspaper. The only change I noticed was that the writing was in 3D. I picked it up and discovered a date in the right corner. It was June 7th, 2110. I was 101 years in the future. Was it possible that I fell into a time warp? A wave of excitement hit me. I could learn all about the future here. Yet, I was also standing in a large junk pile that once was my home. Then more questions flowed inside my mind. Where was everyone? What dangers were awaiting me? What had happened here? I only had one choice, and that was to explore. I looked through the garbage pile and discovered some interesting things. Round candy boxes, square milk containers, and an old wooden chair. They all had something in common, the word "court" in large black letters. It was time to find some answers, and I knew of one place where I could find them, in the local library. The building was easy to find, since the same street signs remained. The library was a very large red building. It stood on a hill overlooking Elm Street. The building had not changed much. I walked up the center stairs, which almost crumbled under my feet. When I reached the top, I noticed a very large red lock. I tried to open it, but it did not budge one bit. I had no choice but to go around the back and look for an old beam to use. I was very surprised to see a rather large hole on the side of the building. I easily fit inside, luckily. I found myself in the cafe part of the library, where I had been at least 100 times. I remembered how Mom used to grab a book, and my brother and I would sit next to her, listening as she read. Then Mom treated us to a sweet drink, and if we were lucky, a Rice Krispies bar. Afterward, we would play all kinds of games at the table, like table football or thumb war. My memories of my mom and brother flowed back to me once again. My tears came back, just for a moment. I had to remain strong now and discover what I needed. I took a few breaths and wiped away my tears. I noticed that the furniture was updated. It must have been a very active place at one time. Like in the garbage, "Court" was written everywhere. I also noticed that the building had been painted inside. It was now a mixture of gray and black, instead of the bright orange it once was. Behind the counter, I found some food boxes and some water, too. Luck had come to me, and dinner was served. That evening, I had canned peaches, turkey jerky, and stale cookies. I saved some food for later. After dinner, I went to the main library room. I found it to be mostly vacant, except for some old scattered papers. I also found a pile of bones in the center of this book graveyard. I screamed, and my cry echoed in the empty room. Then I approached the body. It was a child. The bones still had a shirt and a pair of shorts on them. The clothing was very dull, and on it were these words: "Central Original Robot Technology Clothing Line." I had to stay strong and be a man. I took a few deep breaths, picked up the small bones, and buried them just outside. After a little ceremony, I decided to stay in the library and learn more about the future world in which I had landed. Chapter 5. The Letter. I woke up to a loud knock on the front door. Then I heard Mom's footsteps just outside my room.
"Zach, you got a letter. Wake up and come downstairs," Mom said.
Who would write to me? I have no friends, I thought.
"Hurry, sweetheart. Pick up your letter and eat your brunch."
I looked up at my treehouse clock. It read 12:30. Birds were singing outside my window on a beautiful Saturday. I had never slept so late in my life. What had happened to me? Quickly, I pulled on my blue jeans and my favorite shirt. It had been 4 days now since Andy vanished. The whole town was looking for him. I knew deep inside that he would not be found. I ran downstairs with my zipper still down. I wondered who would write to me.
"Zip up, darling, and keep your goods to yourself," my mom said.
I blushed, my face looking like a tomato, and then I zipped up. Mom handed me an old, worn-out, stained envelope. I noticed there were tears in her eyes. The envelope looked like it was 100 years old. I tore it open and found a gray piece of paper inside. I turned it in my hands, but nothing was written on it. Was this some kind of joke? I wondered. Most likely it was, because I never had any friends. This would be something Greg the Joker would do.
"Goodbye, Zach. I need to go to work and check on Andy's status."
Mom kissed me on my cheek and left. Here I was, holding a blank paper. "Nice one, Greg," I called out. I was about to throw the letter in the garbage when strange things started to happen. First, I noticed several letters floating above the paper, and then they formed sentences, and finally, one paragraph. Peace and quiet finally came. Holding the letter with the paragraph above it, I walked over to my favorite chair and stared at the floating script. I knew it was not from around here. This is what the letter said. "Dear Zach, Andy is doing okay. He is with us in 2110. He has become a major part of our resistance. Our world is not the same anymore. And Zach, we need your help badly. The portal should be back soon. If my calculations are correct, you will find it on Trinity's Main Street today at around 5 p.m. See you soon. Kindly, Wendy. The letters became faint and the paper turned to dust. Oh my gosh, I thought. I only have 4 hours left. Should I tell Mom? What will she do? 100 questions flashed in my mind. I decided it was not right for her to know and worry more. I took a piece of paper from my printer and wrote 7 little words. Dear Mom, I went out. Love, Zach. I then grabbed my coat, some cash, a packed lunch, and my bike, and left everything and everyone behind. I biked down to Main Street. It was only about a mile away. It was a normal Saturday hustle. People were carrying or pulling their kids. The afternoon glistened and all the stores were open. The hot summer sun shone in the sky. The heat was so intense that I could have fried an egg on the sidewalk. I took my coat off and wrapped it around my waist. To everyone else, I looked like an ordinary teenage boy hanging out. But I was really an adventurer about to go to an unknown world. I biked down several blocks, stopped in a few shops, and had my meal. The time flew by so fast. At 4:45 p.m., my cell phone rang and rang. I answered and heard my mom say, "Honey, I got your note. Please come home for dinner by 7 p.m. It's Meatloaf Saturday." I wanted to tell my mom everything, but couldn't. "I will, and I love you," I said. "I love you too, my boy. See you in a few hours." Then the phone went silent, and everything was gone. In the distance, near an old supermarket that closed long ago, I saw the portal suddenly appear. Whoever this Wendy was, she was right. It glowed in front of me, moving counterclockwise. I moved closer with my foot dragging behind. I knew one thing. On this day, Mom would either lose her second son or get them both back. I jumped into the portal and was off into the unknown.